Thanks, Pastor Stuart. Well, great to be here with you again. It's always lovely to be here. It's about family. It just feels so good. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I just thank you that you move us and you change us and you shape us. And this morning you desire to move us on one step further into what you have for us. God, I thank you that you're doing amazing things across the earth. And Lord, we want to put our hand up this morning and say, we're ready to move with you. We don't want to be left behind. We don't want to be the church that forgot to move when God was moving. We don't want to be left in the wilderness, Lord. We want to move with you. So God, today we say we're ready. And we want to hear what you're saying. We want to be where you're moving. We want to be engaged with what you're doing. So Lord, we bless you this morning. And we say, have your way in this place today. And I pray that every heart would be open and attentive to you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in the middle of a series, I believe, called His Walk, Our Walk. Now, I'm going to speak into that this morning. It's always a great privilege to be here and to share with you. I know that we come here fairly often and we never take that for granted. You know, we don't go, oh, no, we've got to get in the car and we've got to drive. We always love coming here. We love the worship. We love the people. We love what God is doing here, and God is doing something unique and special in this season. Are you ready? Because God is moving upon the earth. I'm not sure whether you've noticed, but at this moment in time, God is shifting and changing things across the earth. It's almost like 2023, something shifted. We started this new year with something quite unique and special happening in God. And we're seeing pockets of worship break out over the world. And, you know, I'm excited to see that even in our own city, we're finding Christians who are gathering together just to worship. Now, when Christians gather together just to worship God, just to pursue Him, things start to change and things start to happen. And, you know, people start to get drawn into the kingdom. When the church worships together, things start to move and to shift. And we're starting to see that. And you need to be aware of that. You need to be aware that God is doing something. You know, it's been a bit of a sleepy season these last few years, and we've dealt with COVID and all sorts of other things, and God's been doing stuff because He's always doing stuff. But it seems 2023, there's an exciting new thing happening in God. You know, and we need to be aware and we need to be ready for this. So I'm excited that you're looking at His walk, our walk, because what Jesus did, we are called to. It is our walk. Our walk is to walk in His walk. Amen? So I believe that Pastor Aaron has just nailed this topic right on the head this year with what God is doing. Amen? Because God is doing something. Well, this morning, we're going to look at a certain aspect of Jesus' ministry that will help us to understand our role, our personal role in His walk. So our personal walk in His walk. And we're going to start this morning with Luke chapter 15, verse 1 to 7. So are you ready? Here we go. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Him, being Jesus, to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So He spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Now the picture is this, is that out of 100 sheep, one is identified. That one that was lost was identified. There was some work, some travel, some effort involved in finding that lost sheep. Then there was rejoicing at the return of the one. Now I believe there's a couple of sides to Jesus' ministry that are quite interesting to identify and to separate. And firstly, there's the public side, where Jesus ministered publicly to groups of people, often to hundreds or even thousands of people. There's the public side of Jesus' ministry, which I believe is a picture of the church. But then there's a very other interesting side to Jesus' ministry, which is his ministry to the one. And I believe that the ministry to the one is very much our role. That we play a part, and we have a very big part in the ministry to the one. See, Jesus' ministry was very much centered around the one, if you think about it. You know, he spoke to big crowds, spoke to lots and lots of people, but he often ministered to the one. So what we're going to do is we're going to briefly look at a couple of accounts or a couple of scriptures that just sort of identify how Jesus went a bit about this. So let's look at the Samaritan woman at the well. Now this is John 4, verse 3:20-26. "He left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour," so about morning, lunchtime-ish. "A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is that that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" Now, many of you will know the story. Jesus starts to minister to this woman at the well. And through a couple of words of knowledge, he identifies this woman's past. And he says to her, he says, "Well, I know that you don't have a husband. In fact, the man that you live with currently isn't your husband. And you've had numerous husbands, actually, that over a period of time." So he identifies her past through a series of words of knowledges. And she is amazed and says to him, "Are you a prophet?" And he actually, at that point, identifies the fact that he is the Messiah to her. To a Samaritan woman, all on her own, in the middle of nowhere, drawing water from a well, a sinner, discarded by society, he identifies the fact that he is the Messiah to her. And it says in John 4, verse 27, it says, "And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' The woman left her water pot, went away into the city, and said to the men, 'Come, see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him." Well, Jesus identified the one. He knew that he was about to have a supernatural encounter with one woman. He spoke into her heart, and that started a fire in Samaria. She went off to Samaria and she invited all the people she knew to come and experience Jesus. Could this be the Messiah? She was excited about what had happened to her. Secondly, let's have a look at Jesus' encounter with the Gadarene man. Now, you probably know the story. Jesus got in a boat with his disciples. And he traveled across to the other side of the lake. So there was some travel involved. There was some effort. There was some distance that he covered. And there he was met by one man who was demon-possessed. And Jesus ministered to him and saw him delivered, saw the demonic spirits that had bound him for so many years, and he was uncontainable, this man. He was just absolutely, totally possessed. He was totally set free. And it says in Mark 5:18, it says, "And when he got into the boat to leave, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.'" See, Jesus got in the boat, traveled across to the other side, and met with one man. A supernatural encounter took place, and that one man went back. Jesus told him, it says in verse 20, "And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." So he met with the one man, had a supernatural encounter with the one man who started a fire in Decapolis. One man. How about the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda? There was a lot of people at the pool of Bethesda because there was a common belief that at certain times an angel would come down and stir the water, and if you were the first one into the water, you would be healed. Well, there were lots and lots of people sitting around that pool waiting for that water to stir. But Jesus walked past every one of those other people and walked to one man who had been there for 38 years and said, "Do you want to be healed?" And through that amazing circumstance, a miraculous healing, that man was totally walking, totally set free. And it says in John 5:12, it says, "Then they asked him," to the crippled man, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you.' Then the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well." Jesus went to the well, pushed past the crowd, ministered to one man, and started a fire amongst the religious leaders of Jerusalem. He knew who he was to identify. He knew who was to be healed. And we see Zacchaeus. You can imagine the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus is walking through the city with a throng of people around him. There might have been hundreds, even thousands of people with him. And Zacchaeus was short, so he found a tree and he climbed up into that tree. And he was a tax collector, so he was, you know, shunned and probably pushed aside by the rest of the people there. But Jesus, walking through the crowd, identified one man standing in a tree. And it says in Luke 19:5, it says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.' So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Jesus picked one man out of the multitude and said, "Zacchaeus, today is your day." Ministered to him, went to his home, they ate together, and you know, it's who knows what happened to Zacchaeus' life. Then we see Jesus and Nathanael in John 1:47. Jesus said to Nathanael, coming towards him, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under a fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Jesus had identified this one individual and declared that he would be part of a miraculous kingdom and part of Jesus' ministry. And so much of Jesus' ministry was to the individual, to the one. You know, he taught about the lost sheep. He taught about the lost coin. He already knew in these circumstances who he was looking for. He left the 99 or the crowd to minister to the ones that God had identified. See, if we focus on Jesus' public ministry to the crowds, we tend to leave our responsibility to people who are called to speak publicly and to pastors of churches and believe that public ministry is where it's at. But if we consider Jesus' private ministry, we all have a role to play, every one of us. You know, John 4:17 says, "Because as he is, so are we in this world." John 14:12 says this, Jesus speaking, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." See, I believe that we have a responsibility to be part of Jesus' public ministry. We all have a responsibility to be part of the church. You know, if we think about Jesus' public ministry, there would have been planning, there was food, there was administration, there were people keeping records, there was ministry that needed to happen after he preached, there was crowd control, there was all those things. And you know, we need to be part of the public ministry of Jesus that's happening today through the church. We all need to play our part and bring our gifts to the public ministry of Jesus Christ. But you know, we also need to be part of the personal ministry of Jesus Christ. See, each one of us is called to have a personal ministry to the one. See, the role of the Holy Spirit living with us is to teach us and is to guide us and is to help us. You see, in John 16:13, it says, "However," this is Jesus speaking again, "when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Now listen to this, verse 14. "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The word says that the Holy Spirit will take what is Jesus's and declare it to you. He will show you. He will guide you. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to identify the one. See, Jesus identified the one, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, each one of us have the ability to identify the one. You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. In a 10-kilometer radius of this building this morning, there might be 10 people, there might be 100 people, there might be 1,000 people who are ready to give their lives to Jesus Christ now, today, this morning. We just need to find them. We just need to connect with these ones. And you see, the Holy Spirit, that's His role. He will identify to us and help us to find these people. How do you think Jesus knew about the woman at the well? God had showed him. How do you think he knew about Zacchaeus that he had to go and eat at his place today? God had shown him. How do you think he knew about the demoniac over the other side of the lake? Because God had showed him. See, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And it says, He will take what is mine and declare it to you. We have access today. You know, sometimes the 99 can be our family, can be our friends, can be our church. You know, we can become isolated in our crowds. We can become safe and comfortable in our crowd. But God has particular assignments for you now. He has particular assignments for me now. And I'm the only one who can walk in those assignments because they're God's assignments for me. But if I'm not listening, if I'm unaware, if I'm lost in my crowd, then how will I ever hear and identify the information about the one? You know, I've been very aware of this recently, just recently, particularly 2023. But I've noticed that He will highlight particular people to us at certain seasons through our lives. And He will identify people in particular ways that you come in contact with. But we need to be aware. Because God will be speaking to each one of us in different ways because He communicates with us differently, doesn't He? Some people we hear through dreams and visions. Some, I know my wife hears incredible things through dreams and visions. Some people learn and hear through the Word. Some through people through worship that God drops a thought. Or maybe you're a person who you can walk through life and it's like God will highlight people in your day-to-day that His Spirit is upon. However it is that he talks to you, we need to be aware. If we're not aware, we will totally miss the situations that God brings your way. Just consider, who's the person who keeps coming into your thinking? Who you're strangely aware of at odd times? Who really stands out when you meet them? I was in a shop the other day and this girl served me and we were chatting about some stuff. But it's almost like I felt the Spirit of God upon her. Who is that person? Who is it that you think of out of the blue? Who do you dream of? Who do you have random thoughts about? You know, God moves circumstances to cause your paths to cross. This is how the private ministry or the one-on-one ministry of Jesus worked. The Holy Spirit would identify and Jesus would respond and amazing things would take place. Just consider what could happen if we were more aware of what God was speaking to us about the people around us. Well, there's a couple of things you can do. So we're going to just touch on a couple of practical things that that maybe will help you in being aware. Now, the first one's very obvious, but we've got to start here. And the first one is pray. Pray for direction. Pray for wisdom. Why not pray every morning? Why not pray, God, today, identify the person that you want me to speak into. Identify the person that you want me to be around or to make friends with or to help out. Identify that person. We could all pray that prayer every morning and you watch how our lives will change. You know, John 16:14 says, He will take what is mine and declare it to you. We need to ask. So let's ask in prayer. Ask God to break down people's resistance. Maybe do some spiritual warfare on behalf of people who really need some breaking through, who have maybe significant health problems. But put some prayer into this. You know, one thing I'm very aware of is this is God's will. This is God's will and His purpose. So when we pray into God's will, He backs it up with the supernatural. So if we want to see the miraculous take place in our lives, all we need to do is lean into God's will and apply prayer into God's will, and He will show up. You know, it was the words of knowledge that broke open the heart of the woman at the well. It was spiritual warfare that delivered the demoniac. It was gifts of discernment that were able to identify what needed to take place. You know, one thing I've noticed over my Christian life is that when we move according to God's will, the supernatural is available to us. A few nods from people who've been around a while. When we start to lean into God's purposes, the supernatural is available. You know, sometimes prayer is all that is required. Sometimes that's all we're called to do as far as that person is concerned, is to pray. We might be the key to seeing that person's salvation. I had a really weird situation take place quite a number of years ago. I found that every time, who's heard of the rapper Eminem? You know the rapper Eminem? You probably, most of you heard of him. I don't particularly like his music, or I don't particularly like, you know, I'm aware of Eminem. But every time I heard his music, I would cry. And I'm going, God, what's with this? I remember being in a bowling alley with tears streaming down my face and dripping off my chin because an Eminem song was playing. Now, what's that? So I started to pray for him. Started to pray. I didn't understand it, but I just started to pray. And you know, just recently, a matter of months ago, I heard that he'd given his life to Jesus Christ and he was writing Christian music. You know, we don't know. God knows. I don't know Eminem, and I'll probably never meet Eminem. But I played a part. My prayers were required for some strange reason. We just need to be aware. We need to be listening because, you know, who knows what God might call you to do. The second thing I think which is an advantage to do is keep a record. You know, I've started in recent years to write a list, and at the start of 2023, I updated my list. I write a list of, like, I'll pray and spend some time with God, and I'll write down the people who I sense that God is laying on my heart. Simple as that. I just think about people and just pray, and I got 5 people this year. Now, that God may add to that list. He may take away from that. Actually, He's already taken one away from that list. He might add to that list or take away. But I got 5 people. And interestingly, since the start of this year, one of the guys that was on that list, I've known since I was 17. Long, long time. And we don't spend a lot of time together. But it's interesting that this year he contacted me to let me know that he was in hospital. So I've been going into hospital on a regular basis. And I don't think he's got a lot of time to live. But I know that I'm going to see him give his life to Jesus Christ over these next few months. Because God has identified him. and I'm meeting him with him regularly. He's asking for messages that I've preached so he can listen to them while he's in hospital. Now, that's unheard of for this guy. But God identified the one. We need to pray and we need to hear his voice. Amen. You know, if God knows, and this is why I think it's important to make a list, is because if God knows that you take this seriously, he will empower your efforts. The Holy Spirit will be there in power. So make a list. But be patient, because we don't know why maybe God has identified this this person. To give you an example is quite a few years ago when we came back to West Australia about 15 or so years ago to plant a church here, I needed to do some part-time work. So I was working as a shipwright for a guy who has this big fancy boat, and I was looking after his boat for him a couple of days a week. And he was quite an abrupt, almost arrogant guy, if I can say so. But we got to know each other, and I got to like him, and we got to friends. And he knew I was a pastor, and in the end, I actually married him to his wife, or one of his wives. When I handed over the church, I went back to full-time work, so I was no longer working with this guy. But then interestingly, about a couple of years later, just earlier this year, his family rang me up and said, look, he's quite sick and has asked for you to come into hospital. So I went into hospital and I spent a little bit of time with him, and I said, look, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and his Saviour? And he said, yes, I would. So I led him through a sinner's prayer and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know why he didn't get saved earlier, but I'd prayed for him and ministered to him. I didn't understand the timing. But, you know, right at the end of his life, I had the opportunity to lead him to Jesus. We just need to be obedient to what God's saying to you in the now. Because who knows what will happen in the future. You know, some might give their lives to Jesus, some might not. But you might just be a key, you might be a word, you might be a scripture, you might be a friend, a companion. I don't know what you might be, but God knows. And he will show you and instruct you. But you know what? It all starts with being aware. Just be aware. Keep in touch with people. You know, I would encourage you that if you think of somebody throughout your day, ring them or call them. Say, oh, look, we haven't chatted for a while. I was just thinking about you. How are you doing? You know, like, and God will open doors that way. Get together and have coffee with people, you know, general catch-ups. Love and encourage and be positive with people. I've recently had people say that, you know, they just like to get together because there's a positive word. There's not much positive out there. You'd be surprised. A cup of coffee and some positive words and some encouragement with some people that you know might make all the difference to their world. We don't know the desperation people are living in. The poverty of love and care that people exist in. You know, we can be a shining light to people just purely by being positive and caring and upbeat. Amen. You may be their only connection. You know, I've realized with a few of the people that I'm ministering to at the moment, that God's laid upon my heart, I'm probably the only Christian they know. See, you might be it. You might be the connection. You might be the person that God's placed in their environment. I'd just like the band to come and join me. So I'd just like to encourage you this morning with this. Is that if we're going to walk how Jesus walked, we need to be part of public ministry, play our part in that. But we also need to realize and understand that each one of us has a personal ministry. There is not one person in this room that isn't called to love and to care and to minister to those who are around them. This is every one of our responsibilities. And this morning, it's yours. You just need to be aware. Now, just as the band start to play, what I'd like to do is I'd like you to close your eyes, and I'm just going to read a scripture over you. This is a scripture that Jesus read about himself. But this scripture is also a scripture about you and the Holy Spirit living in you. We are his hands. We are his feet. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Lord, I just thank you that your Holy Spirit resides in us. And you have called us to be an influence, and to love and to care and with those who you've placed in our influence. Lord, we bless you and thank you this morning. Just while your eyes are closed, if you're sitting here this morning and you've never accepted the free gift of eternal life that Jesus comes to bring, if you've never accepted his call to you, today's the day. You know, Zacchaeus didn't climb up in that tree thinking he was going to meet Jesus. He was just there. He just happened to be there. But as Jesus walked by, he pointed to him and called out to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down." Well, this morning, Jesus is calling to you. You are the one this morning. You are the one that Jesus desires to minister to this morning. It's no mistake. It's not an accident that you're here this morning. Today has been orchestrated by God. You are the one. He wants to speak to you this morning. If that's you, if you've never given your life, never committed your life to Jesus, I'd just like to pray a short prayer with you, right where you sit. And you can enter into the most amazing relationship with Jesus Christ, where through his Holy Spirit, he will speak to you and guide you and take you on an incredible journey of life and love and encounter in him. If that's you this morning, just give me a quick wave so I know who I'm praying for. If you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ before, if you feel like you're sitting in the tree this morning, slightly separated from everyone else, well, Jesus is walking past and pointing at you and saying, "Hey, I want to come and live at your house. I want to come and stay at your house." We're just going to pray that prayer together. I'd ask you to pray this from the bottom of your heart this morning. Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I thank you that you died for me. I accept the free gift of eternal life that you have for me this morning. I recognize I'm a sinner and I choose to turn from my past, take your hand, and step into my future. Lord Jesus, change me, grow me. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just while I've been sharing this morning, I've just felt that this is particularly important for a few of you. There's a couple of people in this building this morning. This is what you're called to. You are anointed particularly for this purpose. It's like you have a particular gifting for being able to hear from God and minister to the one. Now, this is for all of us. But let me tell you, there's a couple of people in this building this morning that are key to this church's growth. That as you become aware, that you hear, that as you start to invite and encourage people to come in and to enjoy Jesus and get to know Jesus, that you will see significant breakthrough. So I'd like to pray for you this morning. And there's other people here this morning are thinking, that surely that can't be me. I can't do this. Well, it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit who does it through you. So every one of us has the ability. Every one of us has the anointing required. Every one of us has the capacity to be able to see people come to know Him through the Holy Spirit. Amen? If we're going to walk how Jesus walked, we need to go after the one. Lord God, I just thank you this morning that you just fill this place and you are moving across this place. Lord, you are touching hearts. You are starting to even now identify people. We're just going to take a moment and we're just going to close our eyes and just consider the people in our worlds. Jesus, just open our eyes. There's a gentleman sitting on the end of this row in a blue shirt, glass on, yes, you? There's someone in your world who seems impossible, just like impossible. It'll take time, but I just believe that the God wants you to start to pray and start to focus on them. It's like they're probably the furthest person from what you consider a Christian to be in your world. Start to pray and start to listen. Start to hear what God's saying. And believe that you'll find breakthrough. Believe that you'll find breakthrough with those people. There's someone here this morning whose boss almost makes fun of you for being a Christian. They're the ones. Pray for them. Pray for opportunities. Invite them to things. Just laugh off their taunts. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you this morning that your hand is upon this group of people for purpose. Your hand is upon them. And Lord, as you flow across this place, I pray that you will continue to identify people that your hand is upon in this season. God, we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. What are we